May 20-something, 2026. Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, you told us the world will be changing at the end of this age, and it sure looks like it is changing now. Lord, at this time, we ask you to stay with us and guide us. And we pray for the many people around us who we know and who we love, that they get into your heavenly kingdom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Lord, guide us in a way that we may continue to serve you and belong to you in this confused and conflicted world. Lord, we see people that have the appearance that they are falling away from you. So, Lord, we ask that all the people who have faith in Jesus Christ are strengthened, each one of us, Lord, and let us fulfill your will on earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we do see ungodly behavior all around us. And true enough, we see good and godly people with love in their hearts. So, Lord, we pray that you guide and protect us as it appears there are people who have changed their ways. And so, as Matthew 24:13 says, the one who endures till the end shall be saved. So let us, Lord, be among those who are saved. So help each of us to endure till the end. We pray to be protected, and we pray for the innocent people as well. Lord, the innocent of every age category, we pray for them. We pray that you strengthen our hearts and our minds to stay faithful to you, Lord. Amen. There is ungodly behavior around us, and Lord, we ask for your protection as we hear the reports of church people who might be having some pretty major troubles, and Lord, we pray that they find a way back to you. Even though we do not have an understanding of the situations, we still get a sense that there is something that is not right. It can be ungodly that we get the sense of, and we pray for them, Lord. I was thinking of Ezekiel 8:16, where there were 20 men who appeared to be priests, and they bowed down to the sun and had their backs turned to the temple. So, Lord, we know these things happen. We know that, yes, in Ezekiel and, yes, in Zephaniah, Zephaniah 1:15, there were men who have turned their backs. And so, we pray for those people who we know and love. Lord, we ask you to strengthen us for what is ahead for us and give us discernment to stay faithful to you, Lord, as we seek an eternal future with you. Have you noticed, everyone, that there seem to be preachers who have different approaches to what it is to follow Jesus or even to be saved? And we have people who just say the word, say that you believe and you shall be saved. Well, that is right there in the Bible, but there are other parts too. Yes, that was Acts 16:31, believe and thou shalt be saved. That is similar to Romans 10:9. And there is other scripture that talks about doing God's will. Matthew 7:21, he who does my will enter heaven. There is John 15 that tells all of us that we are to do the will of the Father. So we can see that there's two different directions, and one is doing things in the worldly sense, and the other one is to believe in grace, and that is enough. I know there are different people who strongly believe one way or the other. They either believe that if you believe, you will be saved, but there, that's in Scripture. And the other one is the people who say, when you do God's will, you will be saved. So, here we have two different approaches, and I don't mean I know which one. I can tell you, but I can see that different people have different approaches. The pastors, the Bible teachers, they all have an emphasis on one direction or the other. So I hope that you pray, or even pray and fast, and listen to what God tells you about what you can do to stay within the will of God. After all, we do believe God exists. We believe in the Bible, that is the will of God, and we want to agree with what the Bible tells us. We have words of agreement with our Heavenly Father, who has given us the Bible, the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. So there are plenty of people who have words that they're not true. And some words, the people intentionally will deceive other people. And so, Lord, we pray that you will guide us and direct us to your will with and through Jesus Christ. Now let us prove our word and our beliefs by our actions, by living a life of faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I think of the people that I have heard. Some will say, to be saved is easy. You just believe in God, and that will get you saved. All right, well, does anybody talk about doing the will of God? Yes, they do. I think that both are completely true, but how do I discern between one and the other when there seems to be a different path after one professes belief? Well, I think of Jeremiah 17:9, and it says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. Isn't that interesting? That's in the Bible. We think about us following our heart or being true to ourself by our heart. And there in Jeremiah 17, it says that the heart is wicked and deceitful. Wow. Well, there is an element of that, certainly. And there is an element of love and obedience. So how am I to understand about anyone else but me? No, I don't think I can do that. But I think I can look at my own heart and recognize that it's a little bit different at a little bit different times. So I know that when we want something, we can deceive ourselves into believing one thing or another. We can fool ourselves. That is a way of lying to ourselves and only looking at one part of the information, or only looking at our own desires about this or about that. So we know that Jesus judges us when we die, and we know in Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we get a good idea of what is going to happen at some point, but we don't know when things happen. Now, I remember that as a young man and as a middle or old man, I have known people who have died unexpectedly. Very unexpectedly. So it makes me want to encourage everyone, whether young, middle, or old, that they need to have that obedient relation to God through Jesus Christ. because we never know the moment of our death. And we know there are plenty of people who are either concerned or have fear about death. I think of the people who I have known that have been, well, pretty much on their deathbed, not much time left, and I have seen people comfortable with death, and I have seen people with great fear and anxiety in their eyes as death approaches. And so we see the two elements. One is with uncertainty about what is going to happen, or even the people who are all paying attention to what is going on around them. Well, maybe it's a good thing that they have all the hospital people running around and talking to them. It would be a distraction from whatever their great concern is. Well, I just know that I've seen people who are comfortable with death and people that have such fear. And I just want everyone to have that saving relation with God through Jesus Christ. And when it comes time for death, let everyone be peaceful and comfortable with their soon meeting of God. And if you're not comfortable, then I hope you diligently study God's Word, the Bible, and get to understand the Word of God and what it means to you in your own journey to Jesus Christ, so that you have a comfortable passing, and that you know that your thoughts, your words, and your deeds are lining up with God. And that way, when your eternal soul is judged by a perfect and holy, all-knowing God, that it's going to be all right for you. Well, we all want to have that holy covering of Jesus Christ as we go to meet our Lord and are judged by our God. Well, our God see Jesus covering us, or will he see what we did? Well, it is eternally important to have that sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross covering us. And we can learn through biblical instruction what we need to know about Jesus Christ, his blood and sacrifice, covering our ungodliness and our sin. It's available to all. But what do we do then? We say we accept it. Then what? Then we live it. We show our acceptance by how we live. We become a new born again person. And we have lots of things we can learn from. There are books about all of this. There are Hebrew traditions about all of this salvation. And because Jesus Christ was the blood sacrifice when he was offered on the cross and he died there, then we have grace that we can accept by his blood sacrifice on the cross to cover our iniquity, our sin. Now, we want to be acceptable to God, and we have so much sin around us, on us, in us, that we need to be covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I think of, well, I'm thinking of Matthew chapter 7, where there was the wedding feast of the Lamb, getting ready for heaven. Yes, and Lord, though at the wedding feast there was one man who did not have his wedding clothes on for the wedding feast. And a part of what we do is we are covered by the wedding clothes, which means the righteousness of Jesus Christ as a covering. And then we will be accepted at the wedding feast with the proper covering of clothes. The covering of clothes is the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when we understand this relationship, then we understand why the cross is essential to Christianity. And we understand why the Hebrew people for centuries have had an example of the blood sacrifice of the Lamb. And then, as Jesus came to the time of his sacrifice, we got a fuller understanding of why a sacrifice was necessary for mankind. And then we accept that sacrifice. We understand and we accept. Now, there are plenty of people in the world who think that they don't need to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. There are plenty of people who think that they are adequate the way they are. They think that they will be received, but humankind has a sin on them that was brought to humankind by Adam. And so, when we look into the scripture, we can see why things happened and why we need a covering of the holiness of God through Jesus Christ. That is a part of what we deal with right now as we face the troubles of the world and eventually as we face death. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I just remember that I've been there. And it's a pretty big moment to realize that this is a very serious situation. And I could be facing death anytime now. I just don't know, but it could happen. So when I faced that death situation, I knew that it would be all right because I had relation with Jesus Christ, and I want you to have that relation with God through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice upon the cross. Now, it's better if you can understand what it is that you are agreeing to. So you can read books about it, and the Bible is the best book to read. It gives you a full history of Hebrew tradition and what Christianity means because of Jesus Christ on the cross. So, sometime we get it, and sometimes it takes a little more time and trouble to understand. I don't know how it will be for you, but I want you to spend whatever time it takes to understand the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for you. And then I want you to understand that you need to accept that sacrifice and say, "Yes, Lord, I accept the sacrifice that you made upon the cross for my salvation in heaven." Now, there are people who think that they are all right. They're very good. They're good enough anyway. Oh, I remember I had that thinking once. And then I got to realizing what it was that people do, or what it is that I did, or what it is that I thought. And so I came to realize that I was wrong, and I was a sinner, and I needed Jesus Christ. And when you think of the little bitty things you think about, even if you're a good person, you still have thoughts that go against Scripture. The Bible tells one thing, and it's so easy to want something else. So, it is a part of why we need that relation with Jesus Christ as we are born again. And that is the transformation of our old self to a new person in Christ Jesus. That is born again. And we have a biblical example of that so that we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ and we will be allowed or fit to go into heaven. But we have things we can do on the way that will just kind of help. It's not that it makes a difference the way that I understand it, but I believe that we will more easily fit into heaven when we have been doing righteous, good acts according to God. Now, we do have grace, and we have that grace when we accept the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We do need God's grace, and we need the blood sacrifice that we accept. And there are times when the things that we do are acceptable. There are thoughts that we have that are not acceptable. Sometimes there are things we are doing which are not acceptable. And we have to repent of the things that are trouble, that are ungodly. And repenting means to change. And that will allow us to go to the wedding feast of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And that's something we learn by one part of Scripture and the next. And so we get to be more familiar with what it takes to live and seek the holiness of God. And that's a part of what that passage meant by the man in the proper or the improper clothes. And he was told to leave the wedding feast because he did not have the covering of God's grace through Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice on the cross. When we understand the relationship, then we understand how much we are thankful for Jesus Christ and how much we want to serve and obey God. And seek that example of Christianity as we live. The Hebrew people are also an example of godliness. And those Hebrew people have lived for centuries on earth seeking the ways of God, and that's in their Torah, which they learn and they live day to day accordingly. Or they try to, and just like we try as Christian people. So we are given a gift, and we have to accept that gift. And accepting that gift can be through words and through deed. As we go through life, we say, "Yes, Lord," with our mouth, and then we do, "Yes, Lord," with our actions. This gift cannot be ignored. We can either leave it alone and try to get into heaven on our own grace, which we never can do, because we are full of the disobedience of Adam. You could say the sin of Adam. And that goes down through the ages. That's a part of God's law, to have Adam being sin and Jesus being the price of sin as the Lamb of God. So we get understanding as we read Scripture and understanding how it works. Now we want to accept the gift of Jesus Christ. And we can do that in our mind, but we also do it through our activity, our actions, our words, and we also can read, there is a little scripture here or a little scripture there to help us understand. I think of Matthew 22, 1. Oh, there's a couple of verses. I think it's 1 to 4. And that there is a parallel to the wedding feast right there and having the wedding clothes on. So the other part about that scripture in Matthew is there are people who decided they were too busy to make it to the wedding feast. They had things to do. And if you can imagine somebody being so busy that they could not take time to come to the wedding feast or to understand what it meant to Jesus. Well, there were a lot of busy people in those days, just like there are a lot of busy people today. And there are people who have things to do. No time for fellowship, no time to pray, no time for anybody except what they want to do when they have, what could it be, a field to plow? Yes. Oh, one fellow had a new marriage. But the point is, they were either too busy to go to the wedding feast, or they did. I think that's a good example for us today. Are we too busy? Or are we going to make it an important thing that we go to the wedding feast and have eternal life in and through Jesus Christ? Now, we all have reasons. There's lots of reasons. Are we going to prepare to attend that wedding feast of God? It may seem obvious, and we say, oh, yes, I'm going. But if you get so busy that you just can't go, a lot of people do that. A lot of people do that in small ways. They don't have time to witness. They don't have time for anything except to look after whatever their own needs and desires are. And that's what they do. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to only look after your own needs and desires? Or are you going to care about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Follow Jesus and do what he says to do. A lot of times we get advice from people, or we get advice from a pastor or a person of God, and we have to know that there is lots to seek understanding about. We want to be a Christ follower, and we want to do it according to God's will as we go through life. Jesus is the one and only sacrifice so that we can die and go into heaven for all of eternity. This is God's truth. And there are people who believe in something different. But who do you know who has died and gone to heaven and returned? Jesus is the only one. And it is written about in Scripture. Now, you have to study it a little bit to see it, but it's right there. I hope that you do not just read, but study the Scripture. And we all want to survive and get through a time of trouble. And what do we need? Well, we need God. We need salvation through Jesus Christ in that heavenly place. And that takes a little bit of our own time and our own trouble. What does it take to understand? Do you think you're going to go to heaven because somebody told you about Jesus? Do you think that you're going to heaven because some pastor said you were going to heaven? Well, I mean, they could be right. But the thing is the Bible tells us about what to do and how. So that's something I hope you look into. Look into the Bible and see why it is that you need Jesus, and why you will follow him for the rest of your life. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we get concerned with all sorts of things around us. There is troubles and there are natural disasters. There is everything. And how do we know that we can get to that heavenly place and have eternity with Jesus Christ? That's right there in the Bible. Yes, you accept Jesus Christ. Do you have to be born again with a new life, a new lifestyle? It sure appears that way. So you go ahead and have a look and see what it is that you can see and understand. Lord, guide each one of us so that we are faithful to you for all the days of our life. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. We are so grateful that we have a path. Now, I know of people who say, why does God require this or that? Well, they can say that, but the thing is, I'm glad there is one way, and it is in the Bible. The Bible tells us how to be saved, so read it and understand it. If you're going to rely on a person to get to heaven, well, I hope they are with you when you are judged by Jesus Christ. Do you think they will be with you? They might be, but I think it's better to have a good understanding of what the Bible says. So, yeah, read the New Testament. And the Old Testament says things in a very similar way. And you can read the Old Testament also and get a good basis for what the New Testament is about. There are people all over the place who have an idea of what the Bible means, but it is certainly better for you to read it all yourself. As we go through these times, these end days troubles, when there are wars and rumors of war everywhere, there are governments with trouble, there are people who have turmoil, there are people who are suffering, there are people who are dying. All of this is going on. And somehow, we get to choose what we are going to do. Are we going to have godly or ungodly behavior? What is going to happen? Now, the Bible does tell us about the things that are going to happen, and they warn us not to do things which will lead us to hell. But we want to be born again so that we have eternity with Christ Jesus. And I'm sure you have heard people who have said, only believe. Yes, I've had them too. Well, how do you prove that you believe? It's pretty much done by what you do, not by what you say, but what you actually do. And when we are with people that we know and we love, and we say we're going to do something, it's all the difference to say it with our mouth or to do it with our actions. And that's a part of what is an example of God through Jesus Christ. Are we going to actually do it? Is the whole world going to do it? Is the whole world going to live for what their daily wants are? And we see every country in the whole world, and basically most people are living in a way that they are getting the most out of this life that they can. And while on one hand that's good, on the other hand, many people are so deeply indebted that they can't have any more choices in life. They are so in debt that there's nothing they can do but keep working and keep paying the bills. And God has said the borrower is servant to the lender. And yes, we see that. We know it. And that's going on. And somehow we get to see that there are things we can do to preserve our own life and preserve our heavenly destiny. So we do that as we learn. We can learn by listening to people, but God has told us in his word how to live and how to get to heaven. And he tells us that there are people who will be going to hell also, a whole lot. That's the wide path is to hell. The wide path is to hell. The narrow path is to heaven. So what are you doing to seek and understand and then, of course, to obey what is going on in your life and with the Bible? It's not always easy to obey. And certainly if somebody tells you what you need to do, we often look for a way to just do part of it. Or in the case of a Christian or a Bible-believing person, they might tell you how to follow the Bible, to obey Jesus Christ. And yet, what are we able to do? Are we able to do that, to follow Jesus? It's not as easy as we think to actually obey somebody or actually to read it and obey what we read. Not always that easy, but that is what we are told to do. It's a born-again experience as we go through life. Born again. Everything's new in Jesus Christ, and that's what we are grateful for, that we have a new relationship with God, and we don't have to have the same things as the Old Testament people have. But we still have obedience, and we still have a God who knows everything about us, our thoughts and our deeds and our words, all of it. So we still want to be completely careful with how we live. Now, there's some things that are having to do with our physical life, and we want to have some of the basics for physical life. It might be water, food, and warmth. It might be other things. Everybody has their own view of what is important. And then we seek to understand what is important to us. Some people will say a medical kit is important. And if that's your list, on your list, there are a few things I think of. I think of Band-Aids, a triple antibiotic, gauze pads, and an antidiarrheal medicine. I like to have scissors because those can cut away things or can cut the bandage to size. There's scissors on that little Swiss Army knife, which is okay. And there's always things that you get to figure out what to do and not to do. Oh, first aid kit, let me think. I like a good quality of pointed scissors, and I like burn ointment. I like to have something like Tylenol and a little water so that I could wash out a scrape, or if somebody tripped and their knee was all dirty, it could be washed out with good water. Well, there's always things that we have in mind, and it's always different for each one of us. But they're basic things: water, food, and warmth. And for warmth, I think of a basic, good, warm coat and a hat, a watchman's cap. So the water filter can be good. There are different ways to get good, clean water. And somehow, it takes somebody to look and see what they actually want or need. And it could be that sleeping bag. It could be hygiene items. It could be a washcloth or about anything. Some people like to carry a sleeping pad with them so they don't have to sleep in the dirt. Well, everything is a little bit different for every one of us, and we have an idea of what is important. Some of us want to take care of our vehicles. Or if our vehicle had a flat tire or needed a water filter or a fuel filter or an air filter, or maybe we needed new bulbs for the lights. They're just things that we all can give some thought to and then figure out what we can do to take with us so that we have a few extra things to take care of whatever needs we anticipate. You see, there can be things that we are concerned about, and we take steps so that we are prepared to handle a situation. And that's what we do, in my opinion, with what we do when we seek Jesus Christ. We are seeking an answer for eternity that brings us to heaven and not hell. So what does it take? Just like to have the first aid kit or the car repair kit. It takes a little bit of thought and anticipation for what we might need. But we all have a different idea. And so look at it, read it. Read it right out of the Bible and get your own understanding of what you want so that you can accept the free gift of salvation with and through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins upon a cross. That's something we want, and we often want the people we know and love to be a part of our decision. And so we want to be able to explain this to our family, our children, our friends probably, and somebody else, I don't know who, but how are we going to get to know what it is that is important to us in a life and death situation? Everybody has a different understanding, but I surely do urge you to be faithful to God through Jesus Christ. We have one lifetime to make this decision. And there are people who say we'll have another chance in the afterlife. Well, for all I know, I don't see evidence of it. But could it be? Well, I only know for this life. And for this life, I want to tell you that today is the day of salvation for you to choose to follow Jesus Christ. Be a Christ follower and enjoy heaven for eternity instead of going to hell where there is suffering and tragedy, and also knowing that you will never leave hell. In your eternity, in your existence, you will never leave hell. There is something we want when we want to know that the people we love are in that heavenly place and that we get to have eternity with them. So that's something for each one of us to search out and understand what we are going to do to follow Jesus Christ. Do you know the answer to that? Maybe that's the whole answer. What are you going to do? Do it. And don't delay, because we never know how long this life is. And I know that as we get a little older, we can look back and say, oh, I remember him. He died in a car accident when he was 17. I remember her. She was in the back seat of that car that went off the cliff. Oh, I remember them. They had an infection that nobody could explain, and they died in the hospital. Oh, yes, I know about that situation. Another tragedy. Oh, I would hope that nobody ever would have that happen to them, but it happened to so-and-so. So here we are. We know that things happen in the world, and I'm not exactly sure what, but I know that things happen, and I certainly don't want bad things to happen to you. I want you to enjoy Jesus Christ forever in heaven and not have the torment of hell. So look it up for yourself, because I think that's what we do to show our faithfulness. Look for yourself and then declare that you belong to Jesus Christ. And be ready to preach the good news of the gospel to anybody. Now, I remember there in Mark where it says, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. And I thought, oh, every creature? Are you kidding? Well, look at... So there I was a few days after that, sitting in the garden, and I saw the birds around me. And I thought, okay, well, it says to, so I'm going to do it. I preached the gospel to the birds. And, you know, in a way, didn't feel like it was completely right. But what it did was to speak it, helped me to put it into order so that I could speak the good news of the gospel. And so, yes, speak it to every creature and get practice for delivering the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so many good things on earth and in the kingdom of God. I pray that you search out what is good and loving, and that you are obedient to the word of God, to know the truth of the gospel and then speak the truth. Look up what is God's will. It's right there in God's word, the Bible. Well, thank you for today. If you have, I do have my preparedness page, and you can write to me for that. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And also listen to any past broadcast at www.christtoday.org and help the missionaries in this country and in the world. Pray for them. Pray for your Christian family and your non-Christian family. Please pray. And God bless you, and thank you for today.
Welcome to Preparedness Thoughts with John Stephenson. John understands the importance of being prepared. Through rain, rocks, and snow, he has seen it all and survived. He has seen major disasters like Mount St. Helens and how vehicles were stopped in the street from the volcanic ash. Earthquakes, too, including the Loma Prieta earthquake, which felt like it wouldn't stop shaking. People were without electricity and could not hardly buy groceries or gasoline. The homeless lit bonfires in the streets. The Bay Bridge and other freeways were broken. God only knows what will be next.
Welcome to Preparedness Thoughts by John Stephenson. We invite Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to guide us as we examine how our preparations can be used to preserve the life of ourselves, our family, and others. Maybe you are just starting to think about your preparedness, and you are wondering, where should you start? What might you be thinking about? Well, I have an idea for that. It is to consider what you would take with you if you were going on a several-day overnight trip. What would you want? Another thought is, if you were to go on a several-day backpacking trip, what would you need? What would you be willing to carry? What would those essentials be? So these are just a couple of ideas to get you to think about what is really essential. So you get your essentials on a list for your bug-out bag or your stay-at-home stuff. And the point is for you to consider what your real needs are and what you're thinking about, what you would want, and if you could not go to the store to get whatever it is that you need and want, what would you have with you? This is a helpful way for you to evaluate what you want to have on hand, if it's your stay-at-home stuff or your bug-out stuff. It's what is essential. And so if you had to carry these things with you, it would be essential. So these are ideas to get you to think about what your real and important needs are. This exercise is not intended to be a true and absolute list, but it is to get you to think about what your needs are. And while physical preparedness is often where we start to think about, probably we discover that just as important is how to cope with other things. And one of those is to have spiritual guidance, and pretty much that means God, Jesus, and a Bible is very helpful. So we also have to deal with other issues that are often mental, our mental state of being, because in a time of crises, we have to deal with loss of material and personal relationship items. And the personal relationships can just haunt us. So we have to consider how we are going to deal with those issues also. Our relationship with God and reading the Bible is a great help and comfort to dealing with issues in front of us, especially in a time of upheaval. So, yes, think about preparing spiritually and mentally and physically. All these things are essential to our good mental and physical health. This is episode 73. Start your preparations now before there is an urgent need and what you want is hard to find. Remember to give thanks to God for the blessings that you do have.
Your letters with questions or donations are important. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Email prepareforgod@usa.com. Thank you for listening to Preparedness Thoughts on KKXX.
My Savior God to thee. How great thou art.